Welcome to 24/7 World Radio Podcast on this June 2nd, 2026, which is a Tuesday here. Welcome to the podcast. Again, Brother Eric John Phelps coming to you with a message today concerning Chris Pinto's tremendous production titled Bridge to Babylon, Rome, Ecumenism, and the Bible. An Adullam Films production. And you can get in contact with Chris's company at 888-780-5049. And it's www.adullamfilms, adullamfilms.com. So, pick up a copy of this Bridge to Babylon. It's the finest summary of the devil's attempt, and really success, of counterfeiting the Word of God so that there is a world government Bible, a world religion Bible, designed to merge Protestants and Baptists together under a common Bible, Protestants, Baptists, and Roman Catholics, I should say, together under a common ecumenical Bible. Remember, anytime you ever hear the word ecumenical, it's always evil. The Council of Trent was called the Fourth Ecumenical Council of Trent. So anything ecumenical was seeking to unite Rome, the papacy, with the Protestants and the Baptists is of the devil. Ecumenical is of the devil. And so his great work, Bridge to Babylon, Rome, Ecumenism, and the Bible, I recommend that you get. And I'm going to read to you the back of the DVD case here, and it says, in 1881, two scholars named Westcott and Hort published a revision of the New Testament that would send shockwaves through the academic world. Their new textual theory declared that the King James Version, which had been trusted for centuries, was full of errors. Sacred readings, long cherished by the faithful, were now declared to be forgeries. The world was informed that the book, which had been called the inerrant Word of God, was in need of correction. The new theory claimed that recently recovered manuscripts revealed a truer version of Scripture. Yet others warned that these manuscripts were in fact the creation of early Gnostic heretics that had been rightly abandoned centuries before. Was the new revision filled with ancient corruptions? Follow the story of the Bible's controversial history into the 20th century as the work of Westcott and Hort would transform biblical scholarship, inspire the work of various Bible societies, and pave the way for the cause of ecumenical unity between evangelical Protestants and Rome. Bridge to Babylon. And it's wonderful. I spent the last, I guess, maybe 3 or 4 hours critiquing it, looking at the citations that Chris cited here. I have Dean Bergen's great work, The Revision Revised, when I was in Bible college at Lancaster. Us married men got together and we reprinted it, and I fortunately got a copy of it. So I was going along in it where it was being cited in Bridge to Babylon. Now, for a little bit of a past thing that I've done, and by the way, let's just read a passage of Scripture here. It's 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So, we don't handle the word of God deceitfully. It says what it means what it says. We read it literally, it means what it says literally, unless there's some sort of a parable or whatever. Parable is a summation of an actual literal truth anyway, but we handle the Word of God honestly, and we do not use it deceitfully as Westcott and Hort handled the Word of God deceitfully. Because as you will see, Westcott, Brooke Foss Westcott, and Fenton John Anthony Hort were nothing but a couple of Jesuit coadjutors, specifically Hort. He was the real Jesuit coadjutor there in this revision committee in the 1870s, ending in 1881. So, the Jesuits have set out to replace the Reformation Bible, That is the Erasmus's Greek text, later Stephen's text of 1550, later Beza's text of 1598, to replace the Byzantine text, of which 98% of all manuscripts are represented. And they have used the Byzantine text. God has used the Byzantine text for Erasmus to get that text to Luther and Tyndale, who were the founders of the German Bible, the Luther Bible, and the Tyndale Bible, which in its final perfected state was the AV 1611, as authorized by Brother King James. And so this brought a huge reformation in Europe, the breaking away of nations from the political power of the Pope, because once you break his spiritual power, then you can break his political power. And it has to be in that order. First, the spiritual power is broken by the Word of God, the true gospel, and believing it. And then you break his political power, being ruled by tyrants like the Holy Roman Emperor, or what have you. Then you break his political power, which will, of course, cost some blood and treasure. But that's how you do it. That's what Scripture has, history has taught us. So, this Bridge to Babylon gets into this history. And when I was in Bible college many years ago, I wrote in my senior paper on this matter and showed the president, Dr. Gilbert Peterson, that the new Bibles, and specifically the Greek text of the third edition of Bruce Metzger's critical text, was a work of the Jesuits. I had communicated with Bruce Metzger, and he wrote some very inflammatory notes back to me. But in the final analysis, I want you to see very simply that all the new Bibles are based upon a corrupted, heretical, blasphemous Greek text that only the Jesuits and their scholars, like Cardinal Carlo Martini and others, could put together to appeal to Protestants. Well, these are the better manuscripts, and intelligent people hold to this. And if you're not intelligent, since you're not educated, you're going to listen to us, because you see we're the Protestant popes and the other kinds of popes, to tell you what the Bible says, which Bible to use, what it really means, so we can become just like Roman Catholics, except with the term Protestant. And that's exactly what's happened. Protestantism has been Catholicized. You go to these old Protestant churches, they're empty. I take trips to Harrisburg on a regular basis, and there's some beautiful old Protestant churches. They're empty. Nobody hardly goes. Protestantism is dead. The Protestant Reformation, of men believing the Word of God and having the final authority of faith and practice, namely the Reformation English Bible of 1611 in its present edition of 1769, that final authority is gone. There is no final authority anymore for Protestants and Baptists, for the most part, except a fused a little smidgen of us. And the Jesuits, therefore, having successfully destroyed the Reformation, and they have their agents like Kenneth Copeland, we've come back to Rome. He's not using the King James, I'll tell you that. All these heretics embracing these heretical English Bibles have embraced a Roman Catholic Bible, and therefore have no real resistance to the political aims of the Jesuit papacy in destroying historic white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Western civilization. But in the eyes of the Lord, why shouldn't it be destroyed? All the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants and Baptists have departed from his word, given to us by white men, William Tyndale, Desiderius Erasmus, Martin Luther. And so as a result, it appears that the Lord has handed us over to our enemies to be destroyed here in America and in Canada and in England and in Scotland and in Denmark and in Sweden and South Africa and Rhodesia. He's handed Australia. He's handed all the historic white Anglo-Saxon Protestant nations over to Rome for destruction, because my people, these peoples, have departed from his word. Because we believe this lie, that the oldest manuscripts are the best manuscripts, and Westcott and Hort had a better textual theory, and the Bible had been changed at Antioch, and blah, 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 blah. And all these manuscripts essentially are out of Alexandria, which is the city of Satan. So this bridge to Babylon tells this whole story of how the King James Bible was abandoned by the Lord's people beginning in about 1900. The British Empire had already been taken over by the Jesuits in the reign of King George III. And King George sought to destroy the Protestant Reformation in the colonies. And thank God he didn't succeed, because the Lord intervened. You need to read The Chaplains and Clergy of the Revolution by J.T. Headley. It gives you all these ministers that were standing up for the revolution and led the revolution, like the great head of Princeton, John Witherspoon, who King George said, why, the colonies have run off with a Presbyterian preacher. Yeah, a Calvinist, a believer, a reader of the King James Bible. You see, when you read the King James Bible, you begin to get free. You begin to get free of sin, and then you begin to get free of political tyranny. Political tyranny breaks when people start to engage and read and practice the King James English Reformation Bible, which is the inspired, inerrant Word of God, indirectly inspired, because it's a translation of the directly inspired and preserved Textus Receptus, the Greek New Testament, and the Hebrew text, the wonderful Hebrew scriptures. So they've been inspired and preserved, and God has, based off those inspired and preserved originals that he's preserved, he's given us translations, which are also inspired, because all scripture is inspired of God. And this translation is scripture, and hence it's inspired of God, though indirectly inspired. And I spoke with Phil Stringer about that years ago, who is a Baptist minister in Chicago, and he said he would agree with that. So we're not saying that the versions are not inspired. We're saying they're inspired, but indirectly inspired by honest men who are not handling the Word of God deceitfully. And the translation of the AV 1611 was done by honest and godly men to that end. So, what's the problem? Almost all the Greek men, all the men of erudition and supposedly scholars were all carried away with this heresy that the oldest manuscripts were the best manuscripts, when they were not, nor were they the oldest. And that's Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, and I did my study on this in late 1981 at the Lancaster Bible College, and showed that the Jesuits were completely behind this with their counter-reformation design. And I show you in the quotation of the Jesuit conspiracy by Abbot Leon, where he hears these Jesuits in another room saying, that scripture, that Reformation Bible, it gnaws on us with fangs, and it riles around us and whines around us, and one day we're going to get a hold of it. So they're designed to replace the Word of God, because they knew they can't destroy it. They're designed to replace the Word of God with their corruption has essentially succeeded, because the Jesuits and their Masonic Lodge successfully brought about this change in which Thomas Carlyle called the 1800s the particular time of the Jesuits. The Jesuits were busy claiming Great Britain and using it to undo the Reformation throughout the world. Because as M.F. Cusack said in her work, The Black Pope, if we can undo the Reformation in England, that's the center of all operation, we will undo the Reformation in all nations. So that's why they had the Revision Committee in England and the Jerusalem Chamber in Oxford. And so they successfully pulled this off. There was a couple of men of God that resisted it, like Prebendary Scrivener and also John Bergen of Chichester and a few others. But the vast majority in the Anglican Church, which I maintain have been penetrated by the Jesuits, went along with this heresy and therefore began to instill doubt in the Lord's people in England of whether or not the King James Bible was the Word of God. Because now we have a new one. Now we have the English Revised Version, and it's going to differ from the King James in 30,000 places. The underlying Greek text for this heretical book deviates from the Textus Receptus in 5,788 places. I mean, the Jesuits were masters of doing this, and after they produced it, then they mass-produced this heretical Bible. But this was the beginning of the end for white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Western civilization. And so, we see, what's the game? The game is to destroy the Reformation and on its ruins have a one-world government with a one-world Bible in which the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ is generally removed in key passages. All the cults deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was, in fact, God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. That he was God manifest in the flesh. I'll read that to you. As we read 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And where these heretics, these Jesuit coadjutors, Westcott and Hort, they have an underlying Greek text that I'm sure the Jesuits put together for them, because they couldn't do it. And they changed the word God, theos, to host, to he. So he was manifest in the flesh, rather than God was manifest in the flesh. So they've attacked the deity of Christ in many places in their perverted new Bibles, because none of the cults believe in the deity of Christ. The Catholics do not believe in the deity of the Christ of the Bible because they don't have the Christ of the Bible. Their Trinity is not the triune God of the Bible. Roman Catholicism is the greatest deception of all religions in the world. Masquerades as Christian when it is Roman, Babylonian, pagan. And its priests are the priests of Baal, as the Dutch Reform used to call them. So, you also have the Muslims. The Muslims are blasphemers. Well, wouldn't it be? Because the papacy created Islam in North Africa using Muhammad. And they wrote the Quran in the Vatican, according to a high knight of Columbus that was a personal friend of a friend of mine. Not to mention Alberto Rivera, the ex-Jesuit Alberto Rivera. Yes, he was an ex-Jesuit. And he also said that the Quran was written by the Vatican. So we have Islam, the satanic, blasphemous religion of Islam, denying the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, on the Dome of the Rock and in Jerusalem, it says, "Hear, O Muslims, God has no son." Indeed, hear, O Muslims, God has no son. Islam is a satanic, devil-serving, devil-worshipping religion led by fanatics who consider those of us who believe on Christ to be infidels and that we're worthy of death. And that any Muslim who converts to biblical Bible-based Christianity is saved by the grace of God, believing that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Any Muslim who believes is a target for murder. They kill converts to Jesus Christ. It is a satanic religion denying the deity of Christ. What about another one? About Mormonism. Mormonism is unique in America, and Mormonism is nothing more than Islam for white people in this country. Remember, Mormonism killed white Anglo-Saxon Protestants called the Mountain Meadows Massacre when they were going to Oregon. Joseph Smith was a murderer. He was a high-level Freemason along with Brigham Young. And they both, Joseph Smith is the American Muhammad. So it's a satanic religion denying the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have the Jehovah Witnesses, another American cult. They deny the deity of Christ. Okay. All, and then you have Scientology. They deny the deity of Christ. All the religions you can think of, Buddhism, Shintoism, Islam, Romanism, all of these religions deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything rests upon his deity. And that also goes for apostate Judaism. They deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you will see in this Bridge to Babylon, there was a certain Jew that was involved in the revision committee, and he was the one responsible for changing the word virgin to young woman in Isaiah 7:14, which I've taught on in past broadcasts. We can't offend anybody now. And that Bible, that King James Bible, is a very offensive book to the cults and to all those who hate God generally, which is the vast majority of the world's population, hating God. That's right. That's what Romans tells us, that before we were saved, we hated God. And so what we have in the departure from the Reformation Bible is war and the decimation of Western civilization. And Brother Chris gets all into it. He does a wonderful, detailed job quoting many, many good sources. And he interviews some very excellent men when he is developing his conclusion. And it is incontrovertible that this whole ecumenical Bible revision movement was a work of Rome to bring all the Protestants and Baptists back to the Pope so we can have a world government with a world Bible. And he did a wonderful job. That's why I recommend every pastor, every Bible believer, every teacher of the Word of God, every saved individual needs to get a copy of this, Bridge to Babylon. All the work's been done. All you got to do is enjoy it. You don't have to do any more research. Brother Chris did it all with the men that helped him. So now, what's the end result of this? What's the end result of departing from the Word of God? Well, this is where my book, Vatican Assassins, comes into play, and it teaches you exactly what the Jesuits accomplished in the 20th century. You can get Vatican Assassins from my website, vaticanassassins.org. It's an ebook. Hopefully, I'll reprint it this year. But I get into all the wars and everything that happened in the 20th century, and it's all a result of the departing from the Reformation English Bible, or the Reformation Bible, the Greek Bible. Never forget, I had a couple of Greek ladies that were coming to see me for some health treatments, and they asked me if I'd take them downtown to Lancaster and stop at the Greek Orthodox Church. And I said, well, sure. So I took them in there. Of course, the place is apostate. And I asked the priest, I said, sir, what Bible do you use? He said, oh, here it is right here. And what it was the Nestle text. Eberhard Nestle's wicked text that was nothing more than a continuation of the Westcott and Hort Greek text. I said, so the Orthodox Church is using this? You don't use the Byzantine text anymore? He said, oh, no, we departed from that years ago. So when the Orthodox Church departed from the Byzantine text, or the Textus Receptus, which is the Greek text, and Byzantium, or that area was spoke Greek, the Lord visited the Greek Orthodox Church with its wars and annihilations, which I'll mention a couple here. So we have the English departing from the Word of God in 1885, the printing I think is 1885, where it's going to act as a substitute for the AV 1611. And guess who helps in its distribution? Why, the Scottish Rite Masonic Lodge in England. They help in it because those Gnostics are spreading around a Gnostic Bible. Just like it was Gnostic Germans that spread around the lie that Luther wrote on the Jews and their lies. I showed in my course that it's Gnostic Freemasonic Germans that did that, aided by and overseen by the Jesuit order, because they had to attack Luther, make him the cause of the anti-Jewish fury of World War II. And Luther never wrote on the Jews and their lies, but it's the same wicked Gnostic Freemasonic men who were behind the attack on Luther, who put out their filthy, dirty Westcott and Hort Greek text, which is now all the Bible colleges use for the most part. Yeah, who do you think took the AV 1611 King James Bible out of the public schools in 1963 with a certain Supreme Court decision? Why, it was that dirty, filthy, ungodly Earl Warren Supreme Court. It's the Warren Court. The Warren Court put upon us so many sins and wickedness. One of them was the Warren Commission, the cover-up of the Kennedy assassination that the Jesuits carried out using their Masonic Lodge and their Knights of Malta, which I cover in my book, Vatican Assassins. It's the same brotherhood that was behind the Revision Committee and the supplanting of the King James Bible with the English Revised Version in England and the Revised Standard Version in America in 1901. So now the Jesuits made their first great success against the Reformation nations of Great Britain and America. They're white, they're Protestant and Baptist, they're Calvinistic. And we got to get rid of these nations because we can't have a world government where they're still in power, where they're still reading a Reformation Bible, which the Holy Spirit enlivens to those who read it, because it's alive, according to Hebrews 4:12. Alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We got to get that thing out of circulation. We don't want people to read that. They might start believing it. And then we'll have a real problem, like the movie Pale Rider, when those sinners are approaching, are resisting those miners that were mining gold, and Clint Eastwood comes in and starts to help them. He masquerades as a preacher, and that servant of the devil says, "A preacher? Preachers? Why, if the preacher starts out there, we'll have a problem. We'll never get him off that land." You see, because not that Clint Eastwood was a preacher, but in general, if you, the preacher does that, the preacher leads his people in resistance to political tyranny. That was the American revolutionists. They were preachers leading the people in their revolt against the tyranny of Jesuit King George III. That's what preachers do. Especially when they're Calvinistic and they bear the sword of just defense through the arm of government to resist political tyranny. That's what Bible-believing men of God do when they read the AV 1611 Bible. That's what Bible-believing men do in Germany when they read the Luther Bible. Remember, Germany, Prussia, became the most powerful nation in Europe as a result of the Luther Bible. It had the greatest military, the most inventions. You had Jewish freedom. The Jews were enfranchised by Bismarck and Wilhelm I, and they were 550,000 Jews were given their liberty in Germany, in Protestant Germany. Nobody talks about that anymore. Why? Because the people then were reading the Luther Bible. And they were going through a great awakening with John Ronge, who was a German preacher reading the Luther Bible. Can't have that now. So the Jesuits know that if you're going to prevent a great awakening and a return to the greatness of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant and Baptist Western civilization, we got to get rid of that abomination book. Westcott and Hort called it what that filthy received text. And that's all covered in Bridge to Babylon. So, with this and the general attack on the deity of Christ in this infidel, Masonic, Gnostic Bible, Greek text and Hebrew text, foundation for all the new Bibles, why now there's no power in the churches. There's no power in the churches anymore. You can't go to church and hear some flaming preacher of God denouncing sin, denouncing political sin, denouncing the leaders in their political sin, like denouncing Donald Trump for his participation in the murder of Charlie Kirk. That ought to be preached in every pulpit, along with Cash Patel and all those other sinners. No. Political liberty begins when tyranny and sin is denounced from the pulpit. That's where it starts. No statesman will ever give you political liberty. It starts with the men who read and preach the Reformation, English Bible, German Bible, Dutch Bible, Spanish Bible, Italian Bible, all of those Bibles being the Word of God in the language of the people, in the language of the vulgar, as the Jesuits call it, putting that Bible in the vulgar tongue, condemned by the Council of Trent. Because it's pleased God to save his elect by getting the Bible translated into the language of the people so they can be saved. So, what happens as a result of this? What happens as a result of the departing from the Word of God starting in 1885 in England and 1901 in America? Well, we have, in England, we have the Boer War, where the Jesuits will now use their Masonic Lodge with Cecil Rhodes and these other centers to foment the Boer War, and that witch of a queen called Queen Victoria and her parliament will facilitate and start the Boer War for the killing of white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Boers of South Africa. And the Boers will be killed in the first concentration camps that England set up for them at the behest of Wilhelm II, who was a German Kaiser and working for the Jesuits. That's why he readmits the Jesuits back into Germany in 1917. The center. So we have the Boer War, where we have beautiful white Protestant Australians and Englishmen and Scotchmen, as well as the Protestant Boers, all being killed in this bloodbath called the Boer War, where only the Pope benefits. That was 1898-99. And then we have setting the stage for World War I. And this is going to be the second 30 years war. You want to depart from my word, my white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Baptist English-speaking people and German people? I will give you a 30 years war, and I will use the Jesuits to do it. I will use Satan's Jesuits to do it. And so, what we have is the Boer War, and then we are coming to World War I and World War II, which is the second 30 years war, which Chris Pinto properly cites, as Winston Churchill called that, after World War I. We've just gone through a second 30 years war. And I first came across that phrase in Greisinger's work, The Jesuits, written in 1872. And he talks about the Pope declared to be infallible in the First Vatican Council. And he says, what are we to expect but a second 30 years war? That's what Greisinger says. So, by 1914... we're going to have World War I begin. The classic book on that is called The Guns of August. And World War I will begin between two Protestant nations, Great Britain and Germany, for the destruction of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant white men of those nations. Because we got to get rid of them. We got to get rid of that manhood. They read the Reformation Bible in German and English, and we can't defeat them, so we got to get them to kill each other. And there's a classic work on this called Rome and the War. The author refuses to put his name to it, but I have a copy. And so this is a Jesuit, great harvest of souls, of Protestant souls, no matter how many Catholics they got to kill. They don't care. They're destroying the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants and Baptists. That's the target. And so we have World War I, lasts from 1914 to 1918. And we have the destruction of lots of English and Scottish and German manhood that's Protestant, weakening the nations. You see, Satan weakens the nations. We read that in Isaiah 14, talking about Lucifer, thou who has weakened the nations. How? In this instance, with war. War always weakens a nation. And so it's not only that. Well, the Orthodox Church, they depart from their Byzantine text, and they start to embrace the Westcott and Hort heretical Gnostic Bible. And so as a result of that, the Lord sends the Bolshevik Revolution from after World War I, from 1917 to 1922. And Russia, Orthodox Russia, was defeated in World War I. They were smashed at Tannenberg by the German forces. And Bismarck was the one who kept war erupting between Russia and Germany during his wonderful chancellorship. And when he's gone, the Jesuits now have the Chancellor of Germany and the Kaiser there, Wilhelm II, and they can have a World War I, and part of that will be the annihilation of white Slavic Russian manhood and the beginning of the end of the Orthodox Church that is anti-papal. Remember, the Orthodox priests never attended Vatican I in 1870. They refused to. Okay. So the Bolshevik Revolution takes place in 1917 and 1922, and we have the destruction of the Orthodox Russians, and they were in the White Army. And so the White Army was betrayed by Warren Harding, 33rd degree Freemason Warren Harding, working for the Pope. And so he helped to fund the Red Army and not the White Army. And so the White Army was defeated. Those were the Russian nationalists. Those were the patriots. Why? When you depart from the Reformation Bible or the Byzantine text, God gives you over to your enemies. And that's what he did to the Russian Orthodox people. That was the first stage. And then as we go on, we have what's called the Spanish Civil War, 1936 to 39, where the corrupted Greek text, corrupted new Bibles, they put it in Spanish. The Lord then sends the Spanish Civil War against them, and it's that dirty, filthy Franco, Generalissimo, Francisco Franco, who's going to kill not 600,000, but more like 2 million Spaniards. Because as a result of the departure from the Reformation Bible in Spain, they were departing from the great Spanish Bible, the De Valera Bible. You do that, you get war. And then we have World War II starting in 1939, where the Jesuits are going to sweep the Bible, sweep Protestantism, out of the Far East using the savage, vicious, evil, wicked Japanese army and the horrible, terrible tortures they carried out on Americans, Filipinos, Chinese. They were the sword of the Pope to gather up all the gold out of the Far East, and which gold would then find its hands into the new right in America, according to the great work Gold Warriors by that husband and wife team. Yes, Gold Warriors, written by the Seagraves, Peggy Seagrave and Sterling. They used the Japanese to gather up all the gold in the Far East that they could. According to Gold Warriors, they found a 2,000-pound Buddha in solid gold. They melted it down. And then the Japanese put all this gold in 175 treasure troves in the Philippines. That was later discovered and brought into the Pope's gold hoard by his CIA and others. Because World War II is also about stealing all the gold out of Europe and all the gold out of the Far East. Because you got to get monopoly of all the gold, because if you don't have a monopoly on the gold, you can't have a monopoly on all the paper currencies. And Bitcoin and all this digital currency and all this trash. You have no sovereign people anymore, that if they don't have real money, gold and silver, measuring their labor and their intellectual accomplishments, that's not going to lose their value. While you've got a people that's totally able to be worked to death for paper money of the Pope. The Pope's paper money. The Pope's computer money. Yeah. Has nothing to do with real value. So, we have the Bolshevik Revolution, we have the beginning of, we have the Spanish Civil War, and then we have the beginning of World War II, 1939 to 45. 6 years of decimation throughout Europe, Russia, North Africa. Benito Mussolini, working for the Jesuit Pietro Tacciaventure, will kill, 750,000 black Coptic Christians in North Africa. Yeah, you know why? Because they were departing from the Reformation Bible too. Italy, they had departed from. Of course, Italy was never a Reformed Protestant country because the Jesuits killed out the Reformation in Italy and made sure it would never prosper, just like they killed out the Reformation in Spain and killed out the Reformation in Portugal, so that Spain and Portugal wouldn't be involved in World War II as what Axis powers. Franco of Spain will help Hitler come to power, and he'll help Mussolini, but Spain itself is not in the war because the Jesuits have already conquered Spain and Portugal. There's no Reformation there. They're not reading any Reformation Bibles. We'll leave them alone. We won't kill those populations. But we're going to get after those Frenchmen. And but those started, they were reading the Reformation Bible, We killed out all the Vaudois and the French Calvinists, the Huguenots. We killed them out. There might be still some left over, so we got to get France in a war, or we can kill down the French manhood. Because, you see, the French manhood had expelled the Jesuits some 7-8 times. And so we can't have French manhood around here. So we'll have the Germans attack into France, and what take France in, what, 6 weeks? Make sure the Jesuits in France, make sure the Germans win in conquering France so the SS can round up all the Jews and send them to Auschwitz? All of this is a result of departing from the Reformation Bible. In Great Britain, in America, in Germany, and the Byzantine text in Orthodox Russia. And so, what did the Orthodox people get? Well, they get Joseph Jesuit Stalin. Remember, Stalin was trained by Jesuits. You got to read the book, Three Who Made a Revolution. Quote it in my book. Stalin was a Jesuit temple coadjutor. He had an advisor named Alexander Poskrevyshev. Poskrevyshev wrote up all the death lists of all the Orthodox peoples that were to be put to death. It's in the book Svetlanka, which was Stalin's daughter, and she writes about Poskrevyshev. She says, Poskrevyshev was my father's man Friday. He wrote all the death lists, and Stalin just signed it, and the Jesuit orders NKVD put him to death, because the NKVD and the Gestapo were working together on both sides. Yes. Prove it in my book, Vatican Assassins. So now, with the departure from the Reformation Bible, we have these military tyrants killing their own populations. Stalin will kill the Russians. He will kill the Ukrainians. He was a Georgian anyway. He was no Russian. Hitler will kill Germans, aided and abetted by the minister of propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, that Roman Catholic fanatic, trained by Jesuits in the Rhineland in Germany. And he will be the propaganda chief, and he will be the one that circulate the lie that Luther wrote on the Jews in their lies. Yeah, that comes from Joseph Goebbels, that punk, that rapist who raped that American woman who went to Germany, and she had to work for him as a secretary. He was a savage. You have savages in government to punish a wayward population that departs from the Reformation Bible. Well, what else? Well, now, after 1945, we're going to have the Cold War. It's the Pope's Cold War. We're going to have the faked airborne airburst atomic bombs over Nagasaki and Hiroshima, because there were no nuclear atomic bombs airbursted over those cities. They were detonated on the ground by Pedro Arrupe and all these other Jesuit coadjutors. So we can have the mythology of airborne nuclear war to justify the giving up of more of our white Anglo-Saxon Protestant rights in the West here through the establishment of the Pope's United Nations, aided and abetted by that filthy 33rd degree Dirty Harry Truman in San Francisco. Because we'll have nuclear war, so we have to give up our rights. That's right, give up our white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Baptist rights that were secured by a river of blood and the preaching of the Word of God that broke the Pope's Dark Ages. And by the way, there's no such thing as the Middle Ages. The Middle Ages is a Jesuit term to take away the horrible, terrible stigmata of the Dark Ages, when the Pope reigned supreme and his Inquisition reigned supreme, and they would visit your house and say you've been accused by the Holy Office, and they'd arrest you and torture a confession out of you, then burn you alive. They were doing that for 600 years, from about 1200 to 1800. Yeah. Why? The Inquisition stopped. The Inquisition didn't have all of its power in Protestant nations, but it sure maintained its power in Catholic nations. When you depart from this Protestant Baptist Bible of the Reformation Bible, you get political tyranny and you get slavery. And one of the things they're going to do here, because the churches have departed from the Bible, is they're going to try to get the guns. Gun ownership is a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Baptist Calvinist right. Blacks didn't give that to us. Catholics didn't give that to us. Jews didn't give that to us. It was white Protestant and Baptist Calvinists who secured that right for us. Don't you think for that reason alone, white men, you ought to go back to church and hear some preaching? Not until the preacher departs from his heretical Bible and starts getting back to the Reformation Bible. That's why we got to get this Bridge to Babylon DVD into the hands of every preacher you know. So we're going to have the Cold War. That's what we'll do. And then right at 5 years after Korea, after World War II, we're going to have Korea. Yeah. And what we're going to do is we're going to put that Jesuit Mao Zedong in power. And Mao is going to be a great persecutor of his own people. Because the Jesuits now know the Chinese believers have no power, so the Jesuits are going to do their best to kill as many Chinese believers in China by the hand of that dirty, ungodly, wicked Mao Zedong, who used to seduce Chinese virgins every Thursday night, according to his wife. When the wicked are exalted, the people mourn. And that's what we have now under, as a result of departing from the Reformation Bible. So during the Cold War, they're going to kill, 5 million Vietnamese during that awful, terrible, evil Vietnam War. Remember, the Vietnamese were enemies with the Chinese, Red Chinese. In fact, they defeated them in battle in 1978. So now, we have to destroy Asian manhood. And we're going to use the Pope's American military to do that with. Because remember, our military has been totally under control of the Jesuits since FDR imposed emergency war power military government on March 6, 1933, and then 4 days later finalized it on March 9th with Proclamation 2040. We've been under military government since 1933. That is 93 years, something like that? Military government? Did you know you're living under military government? It's the Pope's military government, because now he has war at his side, and we don't even need Congress to declare war, as our white Anglo-Saxon Protestants and Baptist Calvinists wrote in the written Constitution that the president doesn't have power to declare war, Mr. Donald Trump. Only the Congress can declare war. And Congress hasn't declared war since 1941. All the other wars after that have been police actions. Yeah, we need to go in there and we need to have Korea with Dirty Harry Truman and Masonic Harry Truman. And then we need to have Vietnam with Masonic LBJ. And Kennedy wants to get us out of Vietnam, but sorry, Charlie, not going to happen, JFK, because Francis Cardinal Spellman will have him killed. And Vietnam was called Spelly's War. Spelly's War, Cardinal Spellman's War. Get the book, Francis Cardinal Spellman by John, what was his name? John, not Hinckley, John, I'll get it here. Yeah, The American Pope by John Cooney. Get it. Francis Cardinal Spellman oversaw the assassination of Kennedy, and four years later, he oversaw the attack on the USS Liberty by the Israeli army working for the Pope. And he did it through LBJ and also Richard Helms of the CIA. Cardinal Spellman controlled both those bastards. And I mean it, Hebrews 12, they're not sons of God, so they're bastards and not sons. So both those bastards, busy during the Vietnam War and busy during the attack on the USS Liberty, then they're going to persecute American sailors for ever talking about it. They can never talk about it again. And they're going to blame Israel for it. And it was Israel that did this. Listen, the government of Israel works for the Pope. The Pope put it in power. And anybody that doesn't go along with it, an Israeli that's a Jew, like Yitzhak Rabin, will kill him. It's like we killed Kennedy. That's how the Pope maintains his political power, through assassination, murder, intimidation, economic destruction, anything. The ends justify the means. To make the Pope the universal monarch of the world, anything is justified. With, as Ian Paisley called him, the Pope's murder men, the Jesuit order, that international army of horrible, ungodly, wicked, subversive, brainwashed Jesuits. Want the full story on them? Get my book, Vatican Assassins, in my ebook. So, now for the culmination. The Jesuits are moving in for the final kill of white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Western nations, namely England, Scotland, America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. They've already destroyed Rhodesia, given over to the savage blacks in Rhodesia now that have killed out the whites and driven them out, took all their farm tractors and so on. They're starving. Well, isn't that too bad? And then they've done it to South Africa. They've ruined South Africa when they rob, rape, and pillage the whites for all these years now, 20, 30, 40 years, driving the whites out. I know a lady that helps South Africans come into America because the savage blacks are going to kill them all. And then when they kill them all, then they'll have the tribal warfare, so the blacks will be busy killing each other. But one thing's for sure, the Reformation will be destroyed out of South Africa. And the reason why it was great was not only because it was white, it was Bible-believing. It read the Protestant Bible. It did evangelistic work. So we got to get rid of South Africa too. And the beginning of getting rid of South Africa is the Boer War of 1898-1899. Got to steal those gold mines. Isn't that right, Cecil Rhodes, you wicked sinner, head of the Round Table with your Archbishop of Westminster, your bosom friend, Cardinal Wiseman? Yeah. So we're now facing the destruction of white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Western nations. So, what have the Jesuits done? Well, one of the first things they've done is they've advocated the civil rights movement, which is the uncivil rights movement. The civil rights movement was sin. Oh, it was based on legitimate grievances of black people. But why weren't the black people given land after the war between the states? I'm sure Yankeedom could have very well said, you know what, we're going to give you blacks the state of New Jersey. And I've advocated that for 30 years. Give the blacks the entire state of New Jersey with the railroads and the airports and the farms and all of it. Give them their own country and let's see what they can do with it. It's already built. But oh no, we're not going to give the blacks anything. We're just going to have them as nondescripts. And we'll be able to persecute them once they've been freed from their masters. And that's what they did. So it was many years of they were trying to use the blacks to destroy the whites of the South, and that's why the first Ku Klux Klan starts. We're not having these blacks displace us. We're not going to get voted out of our country that we established. And so all the bad feeling develops in the South between whites and blacks after the war between the states that was brought upon it by the Jesuits in the North and Jesuits in the South. So now, what do we have? Well, we're going to have the civil rights movement. It's going to start in the 30s by Jesuit John Lafarge. And it will result in more hatred and racism and black-on-white crime than ever existed before. And that's what we have today. We have black-on-white crime everywhere. As I've taught, they rape 100 white women a day, and they kill 10 white people a day in America now. Even Charlie Kirk says these blacks kill 600 white women a year. Got to get rid of him for saying that now. We can't talk about that. We can't talk about black-on-white crime because the Pope's press doesn't allow it. So it gets worse and worse and worse. And so the white men can go to desperation right into Donald Trump's and the Pope's new right. That's where they want all of us. We're suckers. And the blacks are suckers, too. They're suckers for being used in all their crimes against us and their rape of our white women and the mulattoization of our race because they want, the Pope is using them to destroy us. And meanwhile, the Pope will use the CIA to destroy the black cultures through their drugs, through their crack cocaine. And you read in the book Dark Alliance by Gary Webb. They're destroying. And by the way, most Baptists, most blacks are Baptists. They come from a Baptist background. Got to get rid of those heretics. We'll have them drug themselves. We'll have them kill each other. We'll drop them weapons in major cities so the blacks can get the weapons and kill each other. And justify more gun confiscation and finally martial law. The blacks being used as suckers for this. Now evidently they're too dumb to be able to see through this because their leaders are too treacherous, which includes Louis Farrakhan and Jesse Jackass. And Al Sharpton. All of them black Freemasons working for the Pope. Couldn't care less about their own people. And so they're destroying the black Baptist population, destroy the white population, get each other to kill each other. So that wicked civil rights movement, by the way, the Bible does not condemn the institution of slavery. You got to deal with that. It condemns the misuse or the abuse of the slave, but it doesn't condemn the institution of slavery. Otherwise, Jesus Christ is in sin by healing the slave of a certain Roman master. So now we also have our most recent, our Hispanic invasion. The Jesuits bringing all these Roman Catholic Hispanics up here, herding them in here so they can take over political offices and influence, commit crime everywhere to further destroy white Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, and Baptist America, and also liberal Catholics, because the Catholics were not fanatical Catholics busy killing Protestants, so they were liberals, so they were condemned too. And so to drive all of us in the new right, so that's why they brought all this these Hispanic invaders in here. And then after they brought the Hispanic invaders in here, then they put up the wall. Yeah, oh goody, so they're not going to come in anymore. They're already here. Put up the wall so we can't get out. That's why. And you have the Muslim invasion, bringing in all these savage black Muslims, these Somalia savages, bringing, 80,000 of them to Minnesota so they can commit crime everywhere, so they can be elected to public office and raise holy hell in Congress like the wicked woman that married her brother. Yeah, the Muslim agitation is a work of the Jesuits. That's why they've set up a prayer room in the Vatican, as Chris Pinto documents in some of his work. Set up a prayer room in the Vatican for the Muslims. Great. Because, you see, Islam is the sword of the church. Islam is the sword of the church. And it'll be finished when they kill off the Shia Muslims. They got to unite the Sunnis, one of the Wahhabis. But this Islam is the sword of the church, and they're going to use them here to kill the Jews. They brought the Muslims here to kill the Jews. And by the way, fascism always works with Islam. Mussolini was given the sword of Islam in Libya. I got a picture of him in my book, raising the sword as he's sitting on a horse. Franco used Islam. He brought these Muslim troopers into Spain, and they raped, pillaged, and plundered the Spanish Protestants. It's in Days of Our Years by Pierre Van Passen. You got to read it. Hitler used the Muslims and the SS. It was called the Handschar Division, where these savage Muslims and Roman Catholic Croats mass murdered the Orthodox Serbians to the point of, 1,500,000? Huge amount of them. Cut open the women, pull out their babies, put their cold feet in there. That you got to read, Yugoslav Auschwitz in the Vatican. All Muslims and the right-wing savages working together for the destruction of Protestants and Jews for the benefit of the Pope. And that's what we're getting here. So we got these Muslim invaders here. We got these Hispanic savages here. We have radical feminism, where all these white women are hating white men and working against us every day in every way. And we're going to marry you, then we're going to fight with you, then we're going to divorce you, then we're going to take your children, and we're going to go off with some black man. That's what we're going to do. We're going to embrace the black man, because after all, he's better than the white man. And so, therefore, we're going to bastardize the white race in North America. And have nothing but a bunch of nation of mulattoes that can't sustain white civilization, especially Protestant. It's a war. Wake up, you white women. Then we have socialist communism. We got this everywhere, thanks to all these places of higher learning. Every major university in this country is socialist communist. You wonder why you have this left-wing communist democratic party? It was created by these fanatical professors wanting to destroy the place. And that's what we have. And a government that finances it. Do you know this military government finances Harvard and Yale and all those socialist communist bastions of evil? Did you know that? They don't stand on their own merits. And we have sodomy and pornography everywhere. Pornography was legalized by that ungodly, wicked, defiled Warren Court in about 1968. When they had a certain Supreme Court decision, they said, pornography is protected by the First Amendment. Yeah. So flood the country with porn, with Playboy, with Wii, and all those sinful, wicked magazines to drive the, so that the white men of this country become immoral and wicked fornicators and adulterers, unworthy of a high white Protestant Western civilization. And there was a certain Catholic knight of Malta that was behind all this. It was Gudion, I think that was his name, that pornography. And so we're also going to have destruction of white nationalism. Nationalism is necessary for the sustenance of any nation. Patriotism breeds nationalism. But not for the Pope. The Pope, in his little Matrix movie, well, the world with no borders. A world with no borders is anarchy. You got to have borders and nations to preserve a people. Why do you think Poland's doing so well? They keep those savage Muslims out of Roman Catholic Poland. You go to walk the streets of Warsaw, there's no crime. There's all kinds of crime in England and America, wherever there's Muslims. Yeah. Destruction of white nationalism. You have the foreign wars benefiting the Pope. You have the destruction of the white middle class. We can't have a white middle class anymore, so we have to favor the blacks against the whites. We have to give the blacks affirmative action and scholarships, and we have to prefer them in the trades, or prefer them in the professions. So we have black judges, and so we have black leaders, so that they can bring their racism and prejudice against white people. I was stationed in New Mexico, in Clovis, New Mexico, at Cannon Air Force Base, and my roommate was a black guy from Arkansas. And he said to me, Eric, he said, if it was the other way around, it'd be the same way. If blacks were in the majority, that we'd be persecuting you just like we've been persecuted by the whites. That's what he told me. This is why we have to have racial separation into nationhood. The solution is racial separation. God forbid that we should have racial separation, you racist Phelps, when it's biblical. The Arabs should not be living in Israel. They should be living in all the other Arab countries. Leave the Jews to their own land. The Greeks should not have Turks living in Greece. The Turks should live in Turkey. The Greeks should live in Greece. The French should live in France. The Germans should live in Germany. You don't mix them up, otherwise you have anarchy and crime benefiting the papacy, justifying more strong-arm methods of the government that they run. We have the destruction of the food production here. That's what's happening now. Getting to the point where we have food shortages, food so costly now. Which leads me to the other topic. We have monetary destruction of our dollar. So it's worthless. It's just a piece of paper. Nothing backing it. And so they're going to keep jacking up the prices of everything now. It's going to go up and up and up and up until you got to work two jobs or three jobs. Finally, you're just going to say, I quit, and we'll have a revolution. Then the dollar will be replaced or revalued or whatever, just like Hitler backed the mark with gold. Maybe they're going to back the dollar with gold, but there has to be some monetary sanity brought back, because this can't continue. But it has continued, because there's no more white Anglo-Saxon Protestant middle class. It is gone. We have the destruction of our domestic manufacturers. Taxed them to death, regulated them to death, with the Jesuits, military government, regulation, 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 so that the manufacturers can't produce a good thing anymore, and so we get to import all the other products from foreign countries that have slave labor, like China, and we'll bring their goods in here. And Trump is right. You put a tariff on all that stuff. You want to slave mine your, whatever you bring in here, Red China, we're going to put a tariff on it to bring it up to what we have to pay to have them made in this country. Protective tariffs to protect domestic manufacturers. That's what Andrew Jackson did. President Andrew Jackson did three things. He restored hard money, gold and silver coin. He did away with the Central Bank of the United States, that Jesuit filthy thing. And he also erected protective tariffs, just like George Washington did. Thank God for them both. You got to have protective tariffs if you're going to have domestic manufacturers. You got to have domestic manufacturers for your people to go to work and make money and have a family and have children and build a nation. You don't have that without domestic manufacturers. Jesuits have destroyed them. Destruction of the currency. You have a judicial branch that's totally corrupt. The courts all sit in emergency war powers, military jurisdiction. They're all flying federal flags trimmed in federal flags and state flags trimmed in gold fringe. State flag of a state court. It's all military jurisdiction. Does that do something for you lawyers? How about you Christian lawyers? Why don't you do something about that? Why don't you get rid of these military colors out of a civilian court? Why don't you ask the questions? Why do we have military flags in our civilian courts? Why don't these lawyers tell you? They're not going to tell you because that's how they make their money in these military jurisdictions, proceeding according to the course of admiralty jurisprudence. That's how we make our money, and we're not going to talk about that. So they've wrecked our courts. They've wrecked our medical trade, our medical system, made it dependent on drugs and oil and petroleum. They've driven out the osteopaths and the chiropractors and the true healers and substitute everything. Here, you need it. What you got? You got this disease? We got this drug for you. This disease, this drug. Drug. And no real healing taking place. And if the insurance company is not going to insure anything else but this trash. Because the insurance company is run by the Pope. The banks are run by the Pope. Centralized banking, Wells Fargo, Bank of America. 51% of the stock of Bank of America is owned by the Jesuits. The Vatican Billions by Avril Manhattan, written in 1988, tells you that. They got it all. They're in charge of the drug trade. The drug trade. The CIA, the mafia, the military, all bringing the drugs into all the major cities to destroy your children. Blacks and whites. They hate you. They hate us. And if you're not going to be on illicit drugs, well, we'll put you on some medical drugs. How about that? We'll just get you all metformin and all these other drugs to thin your blood or whatever it is. Got to be drugs. So you can't live without drugs. You got to have meds every day. What in the name of Christ? Meds. Corrupted food. McDonald's hamburgers. Burger King. All that trash. 7-Up. Coca-Cola. Pepsi. All that trash drink. Giving us diabetes and making us sick. So we get to go to the medical doctors to have their inquisition against us. And then when we get older, God forbid, we have to be tortured to death with hospice and you name it. And then we lose our house that we work for, and that all goes to whoever taking care of us, and we die with zero, nothing. That's the military government that runs this country, young white people, and that's what you got to deal with. That's what you got to resist. But how can you resist it? Well, the first thing you do is you don't join the new right. You got to have the first thing you got to do is you got to return to the Bible, the Reformation English Bible, and believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, with true repentance. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. Have repentance towards God and faith towards Christ in believing that gospel, that tripartite gospel. And when you're saved, when you have your sins forgiven, you have the indwelling Spirit of God in you. And now when you have Him in you, now you can resist the devil and his Jesuits and his plot to destroy you and reduce you to slavery under the universal monarch of the world, which is going to be the final Pope of Rome, slain with a sword, risen from the dead, overseen and aided by the Jesuit order at that time to rule the world for 42 months. And if you're saved, you're not going to go through that. If you're saved, the Lord's going to come for you at His appearing, because it's imminent. So my last exhortation to you young people, especially Generation X, Generation Z, everything's against you. Everything I just read off is against you. What are you going to do about it? You going to give up? No reason to give up, because you see, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for your sins. He was buried and rose again, and He's calling you to repentance and faith and salvation, to be your Savior, because He loves you. Doesn't matter what you've done or what you've become. Doesn't matter how many tattoos you got all over you. Doesn't matter how many piercings you got in your nose and your ears. What matters is that He loves you, and He will save you if you believe the gospel. It's the only choice. And once you believe the gospel, you now have the ability to resist the papacy, which I maintain we need to withdraw into our own areas, to have white Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, and Baptist areas, counties where we can declare our independence from the Pope's military government before he drafts all you young men and God knows how many women off to fight the Crusades in the Middle East and in the Far East. You want to fight a papal crusade, Generation Z? Well, you're gonna, unless you repent and return to the Reformation English Bible. And you don't want to die at the hands of these savage Asians and these savage Arabs and Muslims. And that's what's going to happen to you, because they're going to abandon you. The Pentagon and the Joint Chiefs of Staff is going to abandon you over there, and you're not coming back. They're going to sacrifice you in preparation for our Sino-Soviet Muslim invasion. And I don't want to see that either. In conclusion, we need to get back to the Reformation Bible. Get Bridge to Babylon, Rome, Ecumenism, and the Bible by Adullam Films, Chris Pinto. Get it. Brother Eric John Phelps, thank you for listening to the podcast today. I have a book, Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. Please go to my website, vaticanassassins.org, and order an ebook. Pray that I can get my book reprinted this year. I appreciate your gifts. Send your gifts to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. Or you can send it to Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S, at Cash App. Cash App, then the name, Cash Tag. Or then you can send it to, if you wish, PayPal. It's rbpbdonate@comcast.net. rbpbdonate@comcast.net. In any event, we need your help. I have a roof I have to replace. It's going to cost me quite a lot of money. So appreciate any donations so I can replace my roof. There's always something to keep us humble that we might trust God for the provision to do what we need to do. It's my prayer for those of you listening that you serve the Lord Jesus Christ after you've been saved and obey him according to his word, the AV 1611 Reformation English Bible. Until later, Maranatha, the Lord be with you.